Well, last week we looked at some things that made the early church great, and we particularly looked at the book of Acts. And I believe that as you look back to the book of Acts, we can be encouraged as we see how well that church did in a pagan society. There's things that we can learn as we look back to the early church, at a church that was a great influence in its society. Deuteronomy 32 verse 7 says, "Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations." That verse there encourages me to look back. To look back to the days of old, to consider the years of many generations that have gone before us. It's good to look back and see how God worked in them. And last week I looked at six things that characterised the early church, which made it so effective. Now let me go through those six things that made the early church great. There was preparation. They were preparing in their prayers, and the Lord Jesus prepared his disciples for future ministry. The early church prayed, as I just mentioned, and they saw incredible answer to prayer. The early church had power. They received the power of the Holy Spirit, and they did great things with the gifts that he gave them. There was preaching, the preaching of the word, and the early church grew because of the preaching of the word. There was persistence with the early Christians, and also there was purity in the church. Purity was a hallmark of the early Christian church. Well, I mentioned persistence, and I didn't really talk about that too much last week. And today I want to particularly concentrate on the fact that we need to be persistent as believers in the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Are you persistent in your Christian life? Those of us that work here, and I'm sure those that worked in the past, I'm sure you were persistent in your work life. You got up every day, you had to work, and you got into the car, you did what you had to, you turned up on time, I hope, but you were persistent. And if I asked some of you about your work life, you would say to me, I was persistent every day for 45 years of my work life. Some of you might have worked longer than that. Some of you I know are still working very hard, even though you've retired. We need to be persistent, and we find that in the early church. The early church was a persistent church. Look at Acts 2 verse 42. In Acts 2 verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." We see persistence in verse 46. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." A result of their persistent lifestyle in those various things was that people were added to the church every single day. Oh, for the book of Acts today in Newcastle. Oh, for the book of Acts in the tabernacle. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see people consistently added to the church on a daily basis? Now, the early church, let me go back to this verse here, where they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, verse 42 of chapter 2. They were persistent in the apostles' teaching. They were willing to hear the word of God. And it's important for you and I, no matter how old we are or how young we are, it's important that we're hearing and studying the word of God. And I think we should be doing it on a daily basis. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you make it a priority to come to church each week? I hope you do. There are some believers that think, oh, once a month is good enough, once every 2 weeks is good enough, occasionally is good enough. There are some people that think, oh, once a year or twice a year is good enough. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be consistent. And I believe you need to be consistent in your church attendance. I know that some people can't come on a regular basis because of transport or sickness. But if you're able to come here, you should be consistent in your church attendance. Is church a priority for you? Is studying God's word each day, or studying a devotional, or looking at God's word, or hearing God's word, is that a priority in your life? The Lord Jesus said this, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We receive spiritual life, spiritual encouragement. We receive building up when we study the word of God. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The early church was persistent in the word, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The early church was persistent in fellowship. They met together regularly. Hebrews 10 verse 23. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We are to be in fellowship with one another on a regular basis. Fellowship with each other as believers is a great witness to the lost world. You know, it's a witness for you. You park your car and you walk up to church with your Bible. Do you know that's a witness? People in Dawson Street, they are seeing witnesses come to the church to hear the word of God, and that is great. People need to see that when you come to church, there's something unique about Christians fellowshipping together. When I was a non-Christian, and my girlfriend, Judy at the time, she took me along to her church, and there was something different about the young people. They loved being together. And when they had their youth group, it wasn't all about games, it was about studying the Word of God. There was a difference in that fellowship, and that fellowship was a witness to me as a non-Christian. You know, the world needs to see that we love each other with a special love. John 13 verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." There was a little boy, and he used to go to a particular church. But to get to this church, he walked past all these other churches. And someone wanted to know why he walked past all those other churches. And his simple answer was, because they love a fella down there. He walked past all the other churches and went to the church that exhibited love. It's the mark of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's a badge of a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That's a badge of a fellowship that is in love with the Lord Jesus, a fellowship that is alive. Can that be said of our church? Could it be said they love a fella down there at the tabernacle? That's one of the reasons why I go. Well, the early church was unified. God was magnified in the early church, and as a result, the disciples were multiplied. The hallmarks of the early church are unification, magnification, and multiplication. And that should be the hallmarks of a successful church. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They were also persistent in breaking bread. They shared their meals together, and they remembered the Lord's death on a regular basis. Look at verse 42 again, Acts 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They remembered the Lord on a regular basis. They remembered Christ's death, his shed blood. They remembered the fact that the King of Kings left heaven and came down to earth and died for a sinful people. Well, the early church was persistent in prayer, the early church was persistent in preaching, in fellowship, and they were persistent in proclamation of the word. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." We as believers should be persistent in sharing God's word. I think Christmas is a wonderful opportunity where we can share God's word. You can send out a Christmas card with a verse on the Christmas card. You can invite non-Christians to church. Christmas and Easter is often a time where non-Christians will respond and they may come to church. Wonderful time to witness. Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Now, you may not be a preacher, but you're called, if you're a Christian, to be a witness. Acts 1 verse 8. The Lord said to his disciples, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." If you are saved, you are to be involved in sharing the gospel. I read a disturbing story about an incident that took place in America. It was published on August the 2nd, 1985, in the New York Times. Let me read to you about this incident. On August the 1st, in New Orleans, in the United States, a party was held at a swimming pool complex. A party was being held for lifeguards to celebrate the first drowning-free swimming season. No one had drowned that season. There were 200 people in attendance, which included 100 lifeguards. At the end of the party, Moody, aged 31, was found fully dressed, drowned at the bottom of the deep end of the pool by four lifeguards that were present. Here we have the lifeguards celebrating a death-free season, and they're at the pool, and they take their eyes off their work because of their celebration, and someone drowns in the midst. 100 lifeguards whose job was to rescue the drowning. 100 lifeguards fully trained and fully equipped to save others, and yet not one of them noticed a drowning man in their presence. Can I say that Christians, like the lifeguards, are fully equipped? We're fully commissioned. We're fully empowered by the Holy Spirit to rescue souls that are perishing. But we can stand around and celebrate, can't we? We can celebrate who we are. We can celebrate our achievements, and we can neglect the lost. Fanny Crosby wrote these words, and I believe her words should challenge us to the core. "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save." The early church was persistent in their proclamation of the gospel. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be persistent in your proclamation. I was talking to a man on the phone just a couple of days ago, and he distributes tracts and Bibles. And he was telling me that he gets into multiple schools to distribute Bibles, little New Testaments and Psalms. And he told me that a couple of months ago he had the opportunity to speak to over 1,000 kids in a local high school. And he speaks to the kids about the value of the scriptures. He also takes time to distribute tracts in letterboxes. And he does that with a few others on a Monday. So he gets a few other guys, I think, and they get together and they go, I think, every Monday distributing tracts. And he told me that he's done all of Cessnock. And I looked up to see what the population of Cessnock is. It's 76,641 people, according to the 2016 census. He's been delivering tracts in letterboxes in Nice, in Curry, in Greta, Weston and Abermain. He was telling me about one of his long days recently, and his day went from 7:20 in the morning until 5:45. I think he got home at 5:45. Doing the Lord's work, putting in long days and trying to reach out to people in various ways. I asked him a rude question on the phone. I said, how old are you? He said, 90 last Tuesday. 90 last Tuesday, he puts me to shame. Regularly getting out there, putting out tracts in the letterboxes, taking every opportunity he can go, and he's speaking to principals and speaking to the schools, and sometimes he'll get the whole school, sometimes he'll just get year seven. But taking every opportunity he can at the age of 90. Absolutely incredible. You know, Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The psalmist said in Psalm 71 verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. If you're an older person, could that be your prayer today? Lord, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. This generation needs to know about the Lord's strength. This generation needs to know about salvation. This generation needs to know that God loves them, and God came in the person of Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross of Calvary for them. The psalmist says in Psalm 92 verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. We need to give honour to those that are of old age who are serving the Lord. Leviticus 19 verse 32 says, you shall rise before the grey-headed and honour the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. The early church was persistent in proclamation. A 90-year-old man persistent in proclamation. What an example. You're never too old to witness. You can be a witness to your grandchildren. You can be a witness in your letters. You can be a witness in your prayers. You can be a witness in your generosity. You can be a witness in your mission support. You can be a witness in your love. You can be a witness by how you care. You can be a witness by your testimony. You can be a witness by your life, the life that you live. You can be a witness in your work. You can be a witness in your retirement village. The Lord Jesus, when he thought about the lost, he was moved with compassion. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. I had the tabernacle open during the week. Wonderful to see people come in. And this young man, probably 16 or 17, was going to the library. He's doing his HSC, so he's spending time studying. He came into the tabernacle, saw the sign, and he began talking. And I'd say this young man, even though he's studying for his HSC, probably spent about 40, 45 minutes here. And we were able to talk to him about the Lord. But one thing he said to me was, he said, I think it was in recent years, he said, my school, this is a state high school, we went over to the United States And our teacher that was with us said to the group, would you like to come to church with me? And so he said, just a few of us went to church and we really enjoyed it. Now, talking to this young man, I don't believe he was from a Christian family. He said his dad was into Buddhism. The teacher, a state school teacher, influenced those children and asked them to come to church. And her influence, I believe, was a seed planted in that young man's life. He had a pleasant experience in the church in the United States. He sees the sign open in the tabernacle here, that the doors are open, and he comes in and he's willing. He's willing to talk. I said to him, every coin in your pocket testifies to the fact of Jesus Christ, because every coin has a date on it, and that date concerns the Lord Jesus. Our dating system is around a man who is a humble carpenter who lived in Israel, the Lord Jesus. He stayed. I was able to share with him. And I think all because a teacher asking children, would you like to come to church with me? I believe more than likely that teacher is serious about proclamation. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We need to be planting, we need to be watering, and we need to be trusting that God is going to give the increase. The early church was persistent in proclamation. The Lord Jesus was persistent in proclamation. We in this church need to be persistent in proclamation. The early church was also persistent in the face of persecution. Persecution is coming to Australia. Actually, I probably should rephrase that. Persecution is here in Australia. There are Christians now that are being persecuted because they stand for the Lord Jesus. A cardinal in the United States wrote this. He said, I expect to die in bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr in the public square. His successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and slowly help rebuild civilization, as the church has done so often in human history. What is he saying? Well, let me just read to you it again. I expect to die in bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr in the public square. This cardinal sees that persecution is coming to America. Persecution has come to America. Persecution is coming to Australia. And we need to take note that the early church prospered in the face of persecution. The early church was persistent in the face of persecution. Let me just show you a few verses. Acts chapter 4. Now there we find that Peter and John are put in prison. Verse 18, Acts chapter 4. So they called them and commanded them not to speak it at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Faithful when they're threatened with persecution. Well, the threats did not stop the apostles. They were persistent. In Acts chapter 5, there is imprisonment for the disciples. Acts chapter 5, verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Then you follow the chapter there and you'll find in verse 19 there is freedom. They're miraculously released because of an angel. Verse 21, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. So they've just been put in prison, they've just been set free, and they go back to proclaim the gospel again despite the fact that they could be put in prison again. Acts 5 verse 40, they're in trouble again. And when they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So they're just being beaten there. But what do? They get out and they proclaim, as soon as they're released, they get out and they proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Preaching then prisoning. Preaching then prisoning. I don't know if prisoning's a word, but preaching then prisoning. Preaching again then persecution. Go through the book of Acts and they were persistent in the face of persecution. Persistent in fellowship. Persistent in prayer. Persistent in preaching, persistent in the face of persecution. Have you ever read the Apostle Paul's resume in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? If you read his resume, you'll find that he was persistent in the face of imprisonment, persistent in the face of death, persistent in the face of beatings, in the face of shipwrecks, in the face of his enemies, persistent in the face of hunger and thirst, persistent in order to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. Let me read to you what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labours more abundant. In stripes above measure he was beaten. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. Do you get the feeling that he was in perils? In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. There is a man that was persistent in the face of persecution and suffering and hunger and abuse. The church today needs a good dose of Holy Spirit-empowered persistence. Don't know if you've ever read the story of Colonel Sanders. Actually, I noticed that Broadmeadow, they're building a new KFC. Have you seen that? It's a drive-in KFC. But you know what? They've dropped the KFC. They've gone back to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Years ago, they dropped Kentucky Fried Chicken because fried is a bad word. You know, you can't have fried foods. Fried means fat, etc. But they've now put up this big sign that says Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it looks real modern, drive-through, and etc., etc. But Colonel Sanders' story is a very interesting story. In 1930, at the age of 40. He opened a service station in Kentucky in the United States. What he used to do was cook chicken in his house for the customers that came to the service station. He became quite successful, and what he did, he moved his operations to a motel and started a restaurant. In 1940, he could cook his chicken in 6 minutes. With a recipe of 11 herbs and spices. In the 1950s, the government built a highway called the 175 Road, and that bypassed his restaurant by a couple of miles, and it sent Colonel Sanders broke. So he's broke at the age of 65. And at the age of 65, this persistent man went about going to American restaurants, trying to sell his special chicken recipe, and he wanted people to give him a nickel for every chicken that they sold with these special 11 herbs and spices. It's estimated that Colonel Sanders knocked on at least 1,000 doors before he got his first sale. I read that in 1964 he sold his business for $2 million. A man that went broke at the age of 65, travelling around in an old bomb Cadillac, his face painted on the side of the doors, knocks on 1,000 doors to sell his particular recipe. I believe we can learn a lot from Colonel Sanders, but we are not dealing with chickens. We are dealing with souls. The souls of men and women and boys and girls, souls that God may bring into our midst on a daily basis. Souls that are going to live on for eternity, either in heaven or hell, and we need to be persistent in reaching them. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Be not deceived, he says. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that he shall also reap. The early church was indeed a powerful church. It was powerful because they were persistent. They were people of prayer. They were people of preaching. They were people of purity. Let us be persistent people as well. Father, we thank you for the example of the early church. We thank you, Father, that they were persistent in the face of persecution. And Lord, help each one here this morning to examine their own hearts. Help them to examine whether they're persistent in the study of your words. Help them to be examining their hearts to see if they're persistent in being in fellowship with one another. Help them to examine their hearts, and me to examine my heart too. Am I persistent in the hallmark of love as a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Am I persistent in sharing the words? Am I persistent in purity? Help us to do these things, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.